Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this beautiful Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week, Joe. Our good buddy Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase joins the show each Monday at 9 o'clock, presented by Craneworks. Serving the Southeast for over 30 years, visit craneworks.com. Darren, what's up, my man? What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing great. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Weather was yesterday. If you didn't get out yesterday, you missed
it. I know.
Yesterday was awesome. We need more days like that.
Darren, you know who else had a good weekend?
It's probably going to rain all week.
I know. It sucks. You know who else had a good weekend? The Nashville Predators.
They did, yeah.
A big 1-0 win against the Dallas Stars on Saturday. Back-to-back shutouts for the Preds against the Stars. I thought defensively in the last two games, yeah, UC Saros has had to make some key saves at key times, but I thought defensively in the last two games, they've been pretty consistently good and defended the hard areas really well, and I think that's got to be the identity of this group moving forward.
I don't think there's any doubt. And how about four power play goals in three games?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, they'll take that all day, especially in both games that they shut out the Stars. It's all their goals were power play goals. Pretty impressive, and of course all of them game winners. But you're right. I mean, look, whenever you implement anything, I know this coaching at any level, anybody who's done it, Joe, if you've done it, Robbie, I know you've dabbled in this stuff. You know, you just don't walk in there, snap your fingers, and things just magically happen. That's not how it works. Takes time, and we've heard a lot of things, and we've been talking about a lot of things John Hines has done differently since taking over on January 7th, but you just can't magically walk in and change everything up, change mentalities, change defensive structures, change how you approach each and every day, and expect on January 8th that, you know, everything is going to turn out and look like that. That's not how it works. It takes time, and I think to your point, all the stuff we've been hearing about with John Hines, all the conversations we've had with the players on, you know, the difference. And Brian Ellis told me recently, he's like, look, at this level, once you've been doing it for so long, you've pretty much seen about everything there is to see in the sport. And I get that. So for some guys, it really wasn't that big of a deal. But moving forward, look, they're going to have to be responsible in front of the net, and if they can continue getting play like this from UC Saros, who's been spectacular, I mean, they're setting themselves up for the ultimate goal, and that's finishing out this month, playing three games in April, and if they keep playing this way, they'll continue playing on into April. So that's the goal, and we'll see moving forward, and they got a big road trip. I know it started in Dallas on Saturday, but four more big games on the road. We'll see how it all plays out.
The Preds, Darren, they've gotten to see little Corey Perry last two games. They've gotten up close and personal with him. And, you know, they beat St. Louis two straight games not long ago and got a chance to, you know, greet Robert Bortuzzo in those games. I'm just wondering, do you think moments like that, when a guy like Tenorti comes out and stands up for a teammate and some of the other guys get shots in, of course, you know, Roman Josi with the cross, do you think that galvanize the team? Do you think that could be something that maybe helps bring this team a little bit closer together for the stretch run here?
Joe, that is such a good question. I felt compelled to ask that very same question to Hal Gillen, right? He knows better than me and you. I hate to admit that, but Hal does. He spent 16 years in locker rooms. And I literally asked that same question to him on Saturday during the first period intermission. What does, especially for a guy like Tenorti, that comes into a locker room new and in the middle of the season, what can that do for him and what can it do for a locker room? And, of course, Al said exactly what I think we would all, you know, suspect that someone would, how they would answer that. And it's, you know, it does wonders. I mean, what was the shot that we all saw there on Saturday when Tenorti was, him and Perry, by the way, Tenorti was ticked that Perry pulled him down because Tenorti really didn't, he wasn't able to get any shots in. I think he wanted to hit the box for 5 minutes, not 2 minutes for roughing. But Perry was smart enough to drag him down. But, you know, what was the shot? It was Ryan Ellison sitting there, you know, on the bench, on the wall, just sitting there watching it. And you can just tell the look on his face is, you know, all right, man, I appreciate that. Not that Ryan Ellis can't take up for himself, because he certainly said he wouldn't mind getting a nice clean shot on Corey Perry too. But let me just say this. I don't think anybody should ever get fined in the NHL for doing anything to Corey Perry. That's just my personal opinion. Like, I think it's a travesty that Roman Yossi got $5,000, because I don't think anybody should ever be fined for doing anything to Corey Perry unless literally they, you know, they whip out brass knuckles on the ice. Maybe that's going too far, but, you know, an object.
Maybe.
You pull an object out. Maybe. I mean, maybe that's going too far, but give me a break. Across. By the way, Corey Perry deserved that. So, but anyway, I digress. No, it goes a long ways. I asked Hal that, and, you know, a guy like Jared Tenorti, I continue to be impressed. I don't think any of us, Robbie, I don't know how you felt, but I don't know what any of us really thought of Jared Tenorti early on.
Yeah.
You just knew he was this big, hulking guy. You know, he's a big presence, great guy to talk to, but didn't really know what he was going to bring to the table, didn't really know if he had a role or a place, but it is very clear he absolutely has a role and a place on this roster, and he continues to impress me game in and game out.
There's no question about it. I felt the same way. And, Darren, now we're back on this trek where the roller coaster ride continues. They win a couple games in a row. You feel really good about them. Then they lose a couple games in a row, and you think the world's coming to an end. Now they won two games in a row once again. I think at this point it's probably naive for anybody to expect it's going to be a smooth ride the rest of the way through, but I also think it's probably naive to expect anything less than this coming down really to the last week. I think it's going to be tight the whole way through, especially given how many teams are around that second wild card spot and the first wild card spot too in the Western Conference.
Game 69 is the hot stove game, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I feel pretty. It's not hot. I'm sure it's cooled down by now. And then you touch it, and then you get burned. I mean, that's the game we've played all year. To your point, is okay. Two really impressive wins. Is this the role that everybody? And you know, this is where we've touched the stove, and we've all had to pull back really fast. You know, ow, 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 ow. Still hot. And we'll find out. Can they actually string that? Look, 500, we've talked about it. 500 the rest of the way is not going to get it done. It's not. Even though this year the Western Conference is way down, they're going to have to put together something a little bit more. I mean, they don't have to reel off eight in a row. We know that's going to be good enough in the Western Conference. But they're going to have to string together some wins. You're going to have to put something together rather than two up, two down, one up, one down, three up, three down, which has been the roller coaster ride that you described all season long. And they've got a great opportunity. They've strung together two really good wins, but I can go back and think of other times throughout the course of the season where it felt really good. It felt like it was all coming together. I would say Arizona in December, going right into the Christmas break, everything felt and looked really good, and we all know how it looked coming out of Christmas break. You know, you mentioned the St. Louis win. So this, everything looked and felt great with the home-and-home victories over the Blues and 4 points. And then, you know, it's just – so we'll see. Montreal is a team that I think is out, but that doesn't mean anything. We're seeing teams play hard. Toronto is going to be tough. Columbus and Minnesota, look, these are all teams with skins in the game. And Montreal's not out of it, they're still playing for something. But, I mean, they're not going to get in the Eastern Conference. But, look, L.A.'s out too, but L.A.'s still playing hard. So, you know, at this level, people are playing. If you're out of it, you're playing for next season. You're playing for a contract. You're playing for a roster spot. So there are no nights off in the NHL, and I expect the same thing tomorrow night in Montreal.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. I think the Preds are better off playing top teams than teams that are out of it. It's almost like they rise up for the Blues or Stars, and obviously they've struggled with some of the lesser teams. 1 week, Darren, from the legal tampering period, and so soon enough we're going to have a resolution. Are you looking forward to this, or are you just loving this Tom Brady
Tom
stuff
Brady,
right
baby.
Now? You're loving this, aren't you? You're going to miss
it. I'm loving it. Well, look, I don't know if you guys are experiencing the same thing I am. Everywhere I go, basically, it turns into a Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill discussion. It's amazing, which is fun for what we do. I mean, I just talked about the weather. I mean, I felt like it would be coaching malpractice not to get the boys out on a baseball field yesterday with the weather that we had yesterday and the rain that we're going to get this week. And so, you know, we wrap up practice and the dads are all right there. And next thing you know, it turns into a huge Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady discussion. And I'm just kind of laughing to myself going, this is great. I mean, how long has it been? When's the last time there was this much interest in Titans offseason discussion? I mean, Derrick Henry is a given, but I think everybody feels good. Like there's no real intrigue. I guess the only intrigue is how are they going to get it done? I don't think anybody really feels like Derrick Henry's going anywhere else. But the Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady stuff is real conversation. Like nobody really knows how this is going to play out until we find out here very soon. So, I've been covering him since they got to Nashville, and there's been very few times I can remember this much chatter about a Titans offseason as they've got right now. So I love it. Honestly, even though I kind of want closure on this, I kind of wish they'd stretch it out a little bit longer. I wish it was like another month that we could talk about this. Yes. Wouldn't that be great?
I'm so glad that's not the case, man.
Oh, man, you're missing the boat. This is fun. It's fun. Another month to speculate on what could happen. You don't lap that up. Come on, that's a bowl of milk. We're all kittens. Come on.
It's fun. It's just like at some point, you know, when you've had this, it's like a circular argument over, you know, at some point it's like, okay, I don't know what else to say.
I know, but you know what's fun for me is all the listeners that every time we go down this road, they're like, stop it. Stop talking about it. Like, that's fun to me. Like, I'm just going to talk about it longer.
That's right.
It's just like SIDs that give me the helicopter move, like wrap it up. I'm going to ask another question if you do that. Like, I'm going to go longer just because you're telling me to wrap up the interview with their coach. Just like when people say stop talking about it, I'm going to actually talk longer about it if people do that. I'll just let you in on that. So for all those texts and tweets that we get, stop, for the love of you know what, please stop talking about this. Not going to happen.
I'm going to start a burner. I'm going to start like 30 burner accounts and tweet at you like, please talk more about Brady. So awesome.
Reverse psychology, Joe. I like it.
Darren McFarland is a rebel. Thanks for joining us, Darren, from Darren, Donick, and Chase. We appreciate it.
You guys have a good day.
You too.
Appreciate it as always.
Darren McFarland, presented by Craneworks, joins us each and every Monday at this time, 9 o'clock. When we come back, Joe, it is that Tom Brady discussion. There's another log on the fire, baby. Charlie Weiss has been texting Tom Brady. Tom Brady
log.
Getting in the news a lot lately with his text and FaceTimes. We'll get into that next. You listen to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Munson back there spinning the hits. He's the best in the business. And Joe, Charlie Weiss, he's been texting. He's been nosy, trying to figure out what's going on with Tom Brady and his future, just like the rest of us. And he has been texting Tom Brady about his future, his free agency plans, what maybe is going through the mind of Tom Brady. And here was what Charlie Weiss started texting Tom Brady about from earlier? I guess yesterday is when he sent the text messages, Munson? Do we know
it
what
probably
the time
was.
Went?
I don't know. But yeah. He was on Golic and Wingo this morning. I'm pretty sure he was like, look, I got a guest hit with Golic and Wingo, and they're going to ask me like football questions.
Yeah, like,
and
what
I need some juice. So let me just go ahead and text
Tom.
Go
Brady. In the inside sources. Well, here's what Charlie Weiss had to say about that conversation.
Well, I actually texted busting his chops saying, isn't it hilarious that a 42-year-old quarterback is controlling all the conversation about free agency? And then he texted back, he goes, look it, no one knows anything. He goes, nobody knows anything. And I said, well, you know, they all seem like they know anything. I don't ever talk to Tommy about subjects like this because I don't want to be that pain in the butt friend that says, hey, can you give me a scoop so I can tell everyone? But I told him that, you know, every time I turn around, this person said this or this person said that. He goes, well, then clean it up. He goes, tell him that if I don't know, how is anyone else going to know? So the bottom line here is that he has not made a decision. I don't know if the Patriots made a decision, but I can tell you that the people in the know certainly are not talking. So for all those media types who sit there and say, here's what's happening, they have no clue.
Charlie Weiss, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't want to be that pain in the butt friend that gets scoops and gets stories. But here we are. He's on Get Up, or Go Look and Wingo, excuse me, talking about Tom Brady.
So Charlie Weiss now has fallen to the point of name-dropping that he knows Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tommy.
This text. Tommy.
You know, like, Tommy. Those who are really close call him Tommy. We're not at that point with Brady yet. Now, when he comes here to Nashville, maybe we will be.
We'll all be best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. Charlie. Hey,
Charlie Weiss, what's he doing now?
Yeah, he's done coaching. I don't know if he's done.
Is he in the XFL? It seems like every former coach that is in the XFL.
That would have been good. So he hosts the show on Sirius, right?
But oh, so he's a media type now.
He is.
Now we're getting down to it.
I mean, honestly, when you talk about like just brutal college football decisions, Notre Dame giving him that huge contract off almost beating USC.
Yeah.
That was all. And of course, he came into Notre Dame and the famous, you will have a decided strategic advantage every game with me as your coach. Oh,
will you?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
So I hadn't realized this. So he was done in Kansas in 14. Man, I thought it was more recent than that. But yeah, so now. He's on the radio, and he's friends with Tommy.
What do we make about, you know, Charlie Weiss was talking about, you know, all these media types coming out, all this smoke that we've seen throughout this process. He's saying they don't really know anything because Tom Brady doesn't know anything at this point in terms of what he's going to do. I have found it kind of strange that, you know, Brady has typically been a guy who keeps everything kind of inward, keeps what he's feeling, which way he's leaning, in terms of everything that he's doing, pretty much close to the vest. There has been a lot of smoke this offseason around Tom Brady. I don't really buy that all of it has just been manufactured. I think there's at least something to it that maybe Tom Brady himself is putting out there.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't buy anybody who thinks like he hates this stuff and this he just wishes it was over. I think he's having fun with this stuff, and I don't have any problem with that. Good for him. Have fun with it. Why not? I mean, this is the one time in his life he'll be able to do this.
Yeah.
So I don't – anyone who says, oh, this, you know, he doesn't want – he's not into this and it's just – he just wants – no, he's enjoying this. I think the meat of what Charlie Weiss relayed there, you know, nobody knows anything. Anyone is telling you they know, they don't know. Sounds about what I would think reality would be. I mean, I think – Tom Brady has reason to be interested in this place, maybe some other places, certainly the place that he's been forever. We'll see. I mean, if the question with some of this stuff is like, how close are Vrabel and Brady close enough that like they've talked through everything and it's like,
right.
It's this or it's this and we know it and move forward. Or is it a little bit of, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brady kind of enjoying this process. Charlie Weiss seems to think that Brady doesn't care much about this free agent process at all, doesn't like going through it. Here's what he had to say about that.
Oh, I don't think he's enjoying the process at all. You know, that's not his way. He's a very business-like, attention for detail guy. I mean, if he had his brothers, this would already be a slam dunk lock over with. But I think that the fact that the fact of the matter is, this is a business decision. This isn't a personnel decision. This is a business decision. Is Bill, what does Bill value Tommy, you know, Tommy with, not personally, but business-wise? What does he think he's worth? And does Tommy think that that's good enough for him? And by what he's worth doesn't mean just how much are they going to pay Tommy. It's what are they going to do to ensure that their offense can produce enough to have a chance to win a championship. Because the only thing that's really important to Tommy is competing for a ring. That's what's really important.
Why does he keep calling him Tommy? Like, just look, man, stop the disrespect. Call me Tom Brady.
That's how you know you're close to him. You can call him Tommy.
There's a lot of Tommy in, a lot that, of in Tommy. That answer.
I don't even think Giselle calls him Tommy that much. Like, Charlie Weiss is just throwing out Tommy's left and right. Well, Tommy said, and I don't think Tommy does, and I don't think Tom. Be quiet, man. Just Tom Brady. Brady, whatever.
I don't believe for one second that Tom Brady doesn't like this. Tom Brady is a... he's maybe the biggest troll on the NFL. I mean, he sits there on Twitter, tweets out these photos of him walking out of a stadium right after he's eliminated from the playoffs, right before the Super Bowl's coming. And he knew the whole time that that was going to cause panic on social media. He loves it. It's
yeah, he could have did the regular Hulu Has Live Sports commercial where everybody has the machine, like, you know, money guns, and they're like shooting it in the air. No, he was like, no, I got to do it different because I'm Tom Brady. I have to draw attention to myself.
And I love it too. I think it's hilarious. But to sit there and act like Tom Brady doesn't like this process and doesn't like this free agency buzz that's been created around him, I think it's just ludicrous.
Well, you don't know Tommy like Charlie
does. I don't know Tommy. You're right.
Well, yeah. It is ridiculous. And again, I have no problem at all with him having fun with this. I mean, I think he's definitely doing it. Maybe he can he do like a LeBron special?
Decision, man.
Can he get a checkered button-down shirt and sit there for an hour and tell us where he's going? I mean, maybe it's been 10 years since LeBron did that. Maybe
this fall,
this is the next one.
Man, this is a really tough decision. But this fall, I'm taking my talents to Broadway and playing for the Tennessee Titans.
And immediately, like, people in New York are like, what Broadway?
Broadway, which one? People in Boston burning Brady jerseys. Do we think that happens if he leaves? Oh, I guarantee you somebody does it.
Well, somebody's going to do anything. But
there will be multiple people in Boston who burn a Tom Brady jersey if he leaves.
No, but the difference is LeBron's in his prime. He came home. He's playing for his hometown team. Everyone's so excited. They thought there was a real chance they were going to keep him. And he has a special, and it's just infuriating. And that changes the trajectory of that franchise.
I loved it.
In this case, if you're a Patriots fan, I bet you I'd love to know the percentage of Patriots fans who are like, well, let's just start the rebuild now. You know, it's not happening with this team. I bet you there's a decent amount. I don't think people would be furious if he goes somewhere else. I really don't. I could be wrong. Someone, though, you're right. There will be a burning jersey.
There will be multiple videos on Twitter if it happens.
But it also might just be a Jets fan trolling everyone.
Could be.
You know?
I mean, the Jets fans are probably running out of their own jerseys to burn at this point. It's been a miserable time to be a Jets fan. Really forever.
There's a little bit of light for them if they can see Brady leave the Patriots.
What's going to be the ultimate kind of a troll job is when Brady leaves the Patriots and the Patriots still win the division. I mean, the AFC East has just been dominated by Brady for so many years. If they win the division with him gone, like, what do you do at that point?
Jared Stidham lights up.
Jared Stidham goes 11-5 and they win the division.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've seen it. Matt Castle.
I mean, I'm trying to think.
I don't think they won the division that year. But he's come in there.
They went 11-5, though,
I believe,
right?
Yeah, they did go 11-5.
So they had a good year, yeah. Right. Well, that'll be – we may soon see. You know, we may soon see Belichick and life without Brady and, you know, if he can just keep this thing rolling. But I do think what Charlie Weiss, of all the things he said, I think he made a good point there about, you know, just the real simple thing here. It's value and not just what they can pay him, but if you're Tom Brady, you want to know too, okay, can you pay me this? And then can you go get this?
Yeah.
Can I have some better people around me? Because one thing I 100% agree with, I mean, you're not in this anymore just to make money and be in the league. I mean, his family has more money you could ever ask for. So it's about finding the best situation to win a ring.
He wants number seven, baby. Going for lucky number seven in terms of the Super Bowl. Is that the complete choice, do we think? Or is money a big part of it as well?
Because he's never been paid. He's not doing it for free.
Well, I know, but like what I mean is he's never been paid like probably what we think Tom Brady deserves to be paid, because he's always kept money aside to make sure there's enough to spread around to win championships. Maybe at some point you do get to a decision in free agency where you're like, look, I get it. I'm 42 years old. I'm not the player that I once was, not going to get paid probably what I was once able to get paid, but you can still make a lot of money if you're Tom Brady. Maybe this is the time where you're like, you know what? I've taken discounts my entire career. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a factor, but like, because the Raiders are like, okay, 40, come here. I don't think he's going there because he's not going to win it there. So it's still not number one. No way it's number one.
When we come back, we're going to get back into some Preds discussion. Also, a big game for Nashville SC last night. We'll talk about all of that coming up next. But first, 102.5 The Game will be at the Kroger at 1203 Murfreesboro Road in Franklin, Tennessee, this Wednesday from 10 to 6 p.m., accepting donations to give back to the tornado relief efforts. The Nashville Community Resource Center is in need of the following items: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, and trash bags, just to name a few. To see the full list of items that you can donate, visit thegamenashville.com/donations. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. Munson bringing us back in with the weekend. Attaboy. That's good
and
stuff.
I love the weekend.
He's
man.
Awesome.
He's awesome. Very underrated.
The weekend is a he?
Yeah. Okay. You're listening to him right now. Good
see
stuff.
That, see, that's a cool nickname. The Preds should do more like stuff like that, like The Situation or something.
Oh, my God. Did you just make a Jersey Shore reference on here?
Not just like take someone's name and mangle it. Like Roman Yose would be Yosi. But because he's Yosi, they change it to Yose. Just go with Yosi. I'm going to stay on this soapbox for a while.
You cannot have your captain just be called Yosi if his name's Yosi. You got to have a nickname.
It's not a nickname. It's his name. But his name is already a perfect hockey nickname name. So if it's already ready-made, just call him Yosi.
I'd go by Roman.
You call some buddies by their last name, right?
Roman is such a cool name. That's where I'd go by all the time. Call me Roman.
But that's a first name, and so no one's going to call anybody just by their regular first name.
Corby.
Right, but they change it to They change it to Corby. But Yosi is already a name. So, again, if he was Roman Yose, his nickname would be Yosi. So
better
just
than
go with
him,
that.
Better than calling him like Yo-Yo or something, like a dumb nickname
like
that. Like
don't mess with my Yo-Yo. Remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Cool. That's a rapper.
You're about two.
Yeah, I was about to. Actually.
Actually, now that you say it, yes. No, I have no problem with Yose. That's a fine nickname. Some of them are a little out there. You're like, okay.
If a name's already built to be a hockey nickname, use it. Simplify things.
Yeah, like I think Kevin Fiala, when he was here, his nickname was Randy, because I think he called himself like Savage one time, and they made it like a nickname of Randy Savage.
Okay.
So they called that's a good one. I mean, that's Kevin Fiala. Obviously, Randy is not a part of that.
It wasn't Fialander.
It was not Fialander.
That was not his nickname.
Nor was it Fifi.
Should have been. Is it?
A lot of people around here called him Fifi.
I remember that.
And he was not a fan of that.
I remember Fifi.
Yeah.
Was that like Johansson used to call
him? I don't know. I don't really know how that happened, but I think it may have happened in the playoffs in 2017. But Fifi, he was not a big fan of that one.
Yeah.
There are some that are total disasters in terms of nicknames.
Fifi sounds like a poodle. So.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, the Predators with a big win over the weekend. And Joe, it's funny. We were having this conversation like a week ago. And we're like, you know what? The Predators have played against these playoff caliber teams. They're right there with them in the standings. They had beaten Calgary and then lost three in a row after that. And we're like, you know, they're 1-3. They've got two matchups with the Dallas Stars, who has not played. They've not played well against this season heading into this week. And certainly in the playoffs last year. I mean, they were staring down the barrel of possibly a 1-5 stretch there against teams right around them in the playoffs. And maybe we should have predicted this, but they've swung it back around. And now they're 3-3 against these teams that are right there with them in the playoff race. It's just amazing to me the constant roller coaster ride of not only this group, but kind of this season as a whole. And at this point, you know, we're 68 games into it. I would expect that that's going to be the way it is for the remainder of this season. Like, it's going to be, there's probably going to be a stretch in these next 14 games where they don't look great and they don't, maybe they lose a game or two in a row. And there's probably going to be another stretch where they look really, really good. They play close to their potential. And there's going to be a lot of in between. But I think we're probably naive at this point to think that it's going to look much different coming down the stretch here. I think it's going to be a battle right down maybe to that last game on April 4th against Minnesota. I mean, that could be a play-in game for all we know.
No doubt. And, you know, the thing is with the Preds, we focus on them and their inconsistencies and how you just don't know what you're going to get from one night to the next and all the changes and everything. If you go through those NHL standings, like how many NHL fan bases right now are like, this team is consistent and you get the same thing every night and you know exactly what you're going to get.
You Very know, few.
Bruins fans.
Yeah. Blues for the, I mean, even the Blues though.
But the Blues have had their, yeah, they've had their wackiness overall. They've risen and, you know, that's, by the way, I mean, Colorado with a game in hand, 2 points back. You know, that's a heck of a race at the top of the Central. But, I mean, look, you go through all these teams, some more than others, but it's in 82 games you're going to just see so many different things. If, bottom line for the Preds is they're, maybe they're slotted about where they should be, but they still have a great chance to get in there. And I'll continue to say that if you do get in, you're going to have to do some good things to get there. And so you can't say you couldn't make a run.
Right.
No way in this league, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, should you ever discount any of the 16 teams that are in the field. I mean, here and there, you know, you'll have a team that sneaks in and then they're going to play a one that's just looks dominant. But then again, remember Tampa Bay last year?
Yep.
I mean, like, get in and keep an open mind on whatever might happen.
I agree. And look, I'm not saying that I don't think the Preds can be dangerous if they get in. I'm just saying with the up and down nature that they've played with all season long, I think fans have been waiting on them to just click and fully hit their stride. I just don't think that's going to happen. Like, I don't know if they're going to reach a point in the regular season where they just click and they figure it out all of a sudden. Like, I think this is just kind of what they are this year, which that's okay. I mean, you can get in the playoffs that way. I question whether or not you can have long-term success in the playoffs that way. But I think you can get in that way. It's just, can they get to a point where they're playing consistently enough? Not every game, not every night, but consistently enough where you can get in the playoffs and feel like you've got a chance to do something when you get there. I mean, that's the part I think we still don't know.
Yeah, well, if you're helping your goaltender and you're being responsible and cutting down the mistakes in the defensive zone, and he's playing great, that's the number one thing you want to take into the postseason. Now, this team, and this is why David Poile changed the team, moving Subban and then signing Duchesne, has had an issue, especially in the last two playoff series it has played, which is against Winnipeg in 18 and against Dallas last year, of getting enough production from its forwards. And so there's the continued, I mean, honestly, Robbie, we've been through, you know, 3 hours and 38 minutes of this show. We have not talked about, you know, the top four guys,
yeah,
or the top four, five guys you want to include tourists not scoring, you know, because when you win, you kind of change the discussion. Mm-hmm. But that's still the thing, you know, I think to get there probably, and then to do anything, you still want to see that. The power play helped
starting
a couple of them score in the first win over Dallas. So you got to remember that too. But more from those guys, absolutely needed.
No question about it. Also, a big weekend and big game over the weekend from Nashville SC, a 1-0 loss yesterday to the Portland Timbers. And Joe, it was a game where I caught the last part of it and where they were trying to make their surge back into the game. And you watch them play, they've got the ball pretty much the whole time, especially in the last part of that game where they're making a surge to try to even that game up. That's been maybe the biggest surprise to me through the first two games for Nashville SC, the possession has been there. I mean, they've controlled the ball. They've had their looks. They've just had early breakdowns early in both of those games that have cost them. Yesterday, Portland scores their only goal early in the game. Atlanta United, I think, scored like 9 minutes into the game in the opener this year. Just a couple mistakes here and there defensively early on that have cost them. Really, other than that, they've looked like, I don't want to say the better team in both of these games, but it certainly have looked like they belonged in both of these games.
Yeah, they've looked competitive, absolutely. Not terribly surprising, but still, I mean, I think that's good to see. But also, it's game two, Robbie, and already we're kind of creeping into, like, what's wrong with Nashville SC?
I know. Why can't they score?
Yeah, well, first of all, you don't score a lot in that sport, but certainly you want to see some finishes. You talked earlier, they had a couple really nice chances late. Same thing against Atlanta United. So is it a matter of, you know, a little bit more chemistry, just a little bit more finish? And all of a sudden, you're going to be right there. You're going to be scoring goals, winning some games, or they just don't quite have enough in that area of their roster right now to beat the top teams and to score on the top teams. I don't know, but at least it's been very competitive.
I thought they were tied. I thought they tied it yesterday. Walker Zimmerman went up for the header, and just from the angle, it looked like it was going in when it came off of his head. And then it went just wide to a bit of the left post there. But you could tell even when Zimmerman made contact with the ball, he thought there was a chance that was going in. And then it just sailed just a tick wide. But he scored the first goal and the only goal they've scored so far this season against Atlanta United. They need some of their offensive players to get it. Rios had a chance in tight that went off the side of the net yesterday. Like, they're getting some looks. It's all about just kind of sticking with it at this point and finding a way to finish on some of those. And that's going to come at some point, you would think, as they continue to spend time with the ball, possess the ball. I mean, they had, I think, like 13 shot attempts yesterday, and Portland had like four. Like, I mean, so they're winning that area of the game, but at the end of the day, you got to find a way to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta United had two?
Two shots on goal. And both went in.
Yeah, both go in. So, and you go to Toronto now, which is a really good team on the road. So, you're coming right into this league and seeing some of the best it has. And so you got to keep that in mind, too.
No doubt about it. When we come back, we will wrap up the show for the day. Look ahead to the big week that is for the Predators. Every game from here on out, especially as you look at their schedule, some back-to-backs coming up. They've got a lot of games against teams right around them in the standings, against quality competition, fighting for those playoff spots. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson back there spinning the hits. Munson didn't think that I would know what this is.
Do you know the name of it?
No.
Top five, how about top five? Top something, all-time hip-hop song.
I'll say top five.
Yeah.
But you already know, Biggie's like, best. Mind Playing Tricks on Me by Ghetto Boys is like my number one.
I've heard that. That's
But I love
very
how Munson
good.
Just came in here looking at you, be like, I got something for you. Didn't even look my way. Yeah. Just didn't care.
Sorry, we'll get you on the hip hop train. Juicy, by the way.
He didn't
that's
take
juicy.
One look over.
Juicy.
Yeah.
He didn't look, he's just looking at me.
And he was just looking at you the whole time.
Like, I mean, Juicy. There's a lot of Biggie songs that I can introduce you to.
That's fine.
Juicy, Notorious Thugs.
Just,
love Notorious
Thugs. Just listen
Thugs.
To Ready Underrated. To Die front to back. And
absolutely. You
know. That's fine. I can do that.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
I know that one. Just give me some homework.
Unfortunately, you have to hear Puffy's voice in that one. But yeah.
Unfortunately. And they could easily just take his part. But his part's kind of smooth, though, because he says, tell your friends, they can get with my friends, and we can all be friends.
Yeah.
We can do this every weekend.
Right. That's
that's pretty cool.
That should have been the extent of him on a microphone in the history of hip-hop. But anyway.
Wow.
Wow.
Harsh words
good
from
producer.
Retro.
Joe.
Good little buddy for Biggie.
Does not like Charlie Weiss reporting on Tom Brady.
He doesn't.
Also does not like Biggie or Puffy rapping on Biggie songs.
That's Tommy Brady.
Or his own songs. Especially his own songs. But, yeah, it's okay.
Bad
what
boys.
Is he called now? But I don't even can he is he P Diddy now? Is
it's
he
Diddy?
He's just Diddy.
Diddy.
There's no P anymore.
Diddy. No
hey,
longer
you,
P.
You drop
he's
the P.
Just Diddy.
After 2020, you drop the P and then you just go Diddy.
Okay.
One word.
All right, Diddy.
Yeah,
like Cher.
I guess he's reached that point in his career.
I'd rather listen to Cher.
Wow. Hot takes being spewed by Rex Road here today. Joe, big week coming up for the Predators on the road at Montreal, Toronto, Columbus, and Minnesota. We were talking last segment about defensively they're coming around, goaltending starting to play really well, specifically UC Saros. Got a text in on the text line, says, I agree with Joe. In a sport so reliant on a goalie doing well, the team has to make it easier on the goaltenders. I think they've done that as of late. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Saros because I think he's been great, especially in his last 13, 14 games. But I do think the defense has done a much better job against the Stars of limiting the quality chances, keeping them to the outside for the most part. And then when they have gotten there and they have gotten those looks, it's a combination. You need your goaltender to make those saves when they get there. And Saros, to his credit, the last couple games has just been awesome.
Yeah. Now, how many times in the last two games has Saros made a save where you're just like, oh, my gosh?
Not many.
How many times?
Not many. Maybe once or twice. On Thursday night. It was a really good save.
Yeah, there were a couple in that game. Yeah. He had some good saves Saturday.
Yeah.
He's not standing on his head. And again, it's not knocking him, but those things go together. And again, with the goaltenders, sometimes they'll talk about, not getting work for long stretches in a particular game, how that can mess them up.
Yeah.
But also, if they are worried about what's going on in front of them, I think that affects their performance too. And I'm not just saying because the puck's whizzing at him left and right, and eventually you're going to let one in. I think it affects you mentally, and I think we definitely see that sometimes with Pecorine. And so if you have a little bit more peace of mind back there that the structure in front of you is going to be sound and you can rely on guys to do their jobs in the defensive zone, I think you're probably going to play better apart from just not seeing as many high-danger chances. So it does, the two things feed each other.
Well, confidence is a big thing. It's a real thing in sports. And I think UC Saros right now is a very confident player, a very confident goaltender. I'm not sure Rene's in that same spot. And not just because of the way the Edmonton game went, but, Rene's been in a groove his entire career of pretty much, unless it's a back-to-back situation for the most part, he's going to be playing. And that has not been the case for him this year. And look, some of that, a lot of that, has to do with how he's played on the ice himself. But I think added to that, when that starts to happen, your routine changes, maybe even your role changes on a team, it can affect your confidence. And I think we've seen that at times from Rene this year. Now, we've also seen him handle this situation really well and play well against St. Louis, played really well against Chicago. But I do think having a confident goaltender, there is something to that. And UC Saros, for the last month or so, I think has played with a lot of confidence, and I think that's been a big difference maker in his game. And we always talk about, the efficient movement. I think Saros, he has to be efficient with just how his size. He's not as big as Rene is, so he can't cover up as much of the net, obviously, as Rene can cover up. You have to be efficient in your movements, and I think technically, and look, I'm no goaltending savant or anything like that, but technically, I think he's looked really, really solid. Has pretty much always been in the right position over the course of the last few weeks.
Yeah, and it's not a perfect comparison, but, goalie quarterbacks get compared a lot. I mean, they're the focal point of both of those teams.
Right.
And in this way, it's, you got a quarterback playing with confidence, playing his best, does an awful lot for an entire team. And I think you're exactly right that, if you feel really good about your goaltender, it probably helps how you play. I mean, very few playoff runs happen for teams that are just out, just winning 6-5, and their goal, we see it sometimes. Sometimes teams can overcome so-so goaltending and still make runs. But usually, that guy is a big part of why a team does something in the postseason. And with Pet, you mentioned Rene. I thought that, especially with the St. Louis back-to-back and the way he played that game, and he talked after that game about the new role. At that point, we kind of knew. And I thought that, maybe this would actually suit him well. And we're still going to have to find out. We're going to find out a lot in the next three weekends. It's back-to-back, back-to-back, back-to-back. next 3 weekends. So he's going to play 3 games. We'll find out. I mean, the Edmonton thing may be a total aberration,
yep.
And it was McDavid and Draisaitl just going off, and the team did not play well. But they need that to be an aberration, because that's 6 potential points at least the rest of this month that are going to be in his hands, and you can't squander those. So that, he's still a really important thing here as this team tries to get in.
Yeah, and you mentioned the schedule coming up. I mean, this is a week where if you're the Predators and you're playing Montreal, Toronto, Columbus, before you get to Minnesota on Sunday, in those first 3 games, I mean, you get points by any means necessary. And if you're tied, late in the third period, maybe you don't take as many risks as you normally would against a team you're battling with. Maybe you're okay going to overtime. You're getting that point because you're going up against Eastern Conference teams. You get as many points as you can possibly get. You don't care about going to overtime. You don't really even care about going to a shootout at that point. You just get the points that you can get. Where you have to be concerned about the 3-point games and allowing other teams to hang around is when you're playing Minnesota, which they have twice coming up. Calgary is in that fold. They've already played Calgary 3 times, so they won't have to worry about that. Winnipeg, another team that you have to worry about. Chicago to a lesser degree after they lost twice over the weekend. But those are the teams that you have to be cognizant of. Still another game against Arizona as well. Those are the games that you got to win, and you got to win in regulation, because those are going to be the difference in whether or not you make the playoffs coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, just a whole lot of Minnesota late. You got them coming up on Sunday, and then, of course, the finale. And, this is a team that has played well on the road. It's a team that's played better against really good teams. Got to go beat Montreal, the team that's probably out of it, and that's another little step forward.
No question about it. And that starts tomorrow. The Predators, with the second game of their 5-game road trip, will take place tomorrow against Shea Weber and the Montreal Canadiens. Joe, that's going to do it for us today here on the Morning Drive.
Good show, bud.
Absolutely. You too. Hope everybody had a great weekend over the weekend. Big sports weekend between the Predators, Nashville SC, a big win for Belmont. Thanks to Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, for joining us earlier in the show. Also, Jimmy Dykes from the SEC Network. If you missed those, we'll tweet those out later. Corey Curtis from News 2 and Darren McFarland as well. Thanks, as always, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow on Morning Drive from 6 to 10. Next is Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.